The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week, we'll hear about the forgotten freelancers and their campaign to get the BBC and the government to help those who've fallen between the gaps of financial help. Plus, in David Lloyd's Radio Moments at the end of the podcast, we got a detailed look back at the history of radio's big cash giveaways and some memorable competition clips from on the air down the years.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mick Azoid.
First, let's chat to Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin. How are you, Roy?
Hi, Stu. Not bad. Not bad at all. How are you today? You okay?
Yeah, doing all right. Doing all right. As lockdown enters its 86th week. There's been quite a few radio things to watch online and on the TV and stuff this week. I watched the best of the Capital Summertime Ball on Saturday Tea Time, which I thought was very well produced and available on my actual TV as well. That was good.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it? So slick. And obviously we expect nothing less from Global. And it kind of made up for the fact that we were going to go this year and see it at that football stadium in London. And we'd actually made plans to go, but maybe next year it can all work out.
Yeah, and you were watching some of Radio Centre's Tuning In this week as well, another well-produced event.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I was expecting a bad production or anything, but it really blew my mind how good it was. It felt like a TV show rather than just an online conference or something like that. It was obviously they got the professionals in to do it, and that's the way to do things properly. So well done to Radio Centre and everybody involved in that conference today as we recorded. It's Tuesday night, so that was on early this morning. It was about the right length as well for a conference, only about 3 hours long, which is always good for a radio conference, I find.
Did you go out and get some pastries and a cup of tea or something at certain points, or did they not build that in?
Yeah, and I avoided all the coffees and teas and went around the corner for a Diet Coke instead.
Talking of well-produced stuff, I watched on Monday the Times Radio kind of launch event. Wasn't sure whether it was kind of aimed at industry people or at advertisers or at Times subscribers, but kind of a bit of all sorts, really. But really good Q&A. Tim Lavelle, the programme director, was hosting it, joined by Asma Mir and Stig Abel from The Breakfast Show and John Pienaar. Still no launch date. We're hoping to hear in a couple of weeks what their launch date is. They're just saying summer at the moment. And I think there's going to be some more presenters announced. But again, it was a really well-produced thing, very slick, as you'd expect from one of the biggest media companies in the country, in News UK. But really good quality video feed and a nice kind of interactive bit with all the questions coming in and stuff like that. Not sure we quite learnt very much about Times Radio, other than perhaps that they're not going to do phone-ins. So they basically said, you know, there's other places that cater for phone-ins. LBC have got that sewn up. So we're not going to be having punters on the phone telling us their views and their opinions. We will be involving listeners in our programming, but we'll be hearing more experts and commentators rather than ordinary man on the street or woman on the street. And the other thing I think we learned was that actually this has been in the planning for quite a while. John Pienaar said he had a conversation, a cup of coffee in Soho with Liam Fisher from Wireless about a year ago. So they've obviously been talking to people like that for a little while now.
Yeah, I'd hate to see their salary bill. They've got all the big guns in. We know they're paying them a lot of money each. So, yeah, they must have a big marketing budget at the Times. That's all I can say.
And we'll hopefully get some people from Times Radio on once we hear the launch date, once there's a bit more detail out in a few weeks' time. That's why we've not had anybody on recently, by the way, in case you were wondering. We're going to do that in a few weeks' time once they've announced a bit more information about it. And we'll hear from somebody here on this podcast. Oh, it was the Podcast Award nominations as well. They did that as an online event. I think the awards themselves will be handed out in July. Again, it's going to be online. You can see all the nominees at radiotoday.co.uk. I was looking through the nominations list, actually, and I think, I don't know if this is embarrassing for me or for the kind of podcast I listen to, but I can't class myself as a podcast listener. I listen to all sorts of podcasts, but I think there's only about four on the list of nominees that I actually ever regularly listen to.
Well, that's four more than me. I don't even listen to this. I'm not a podcast listener by any stretch of the imagination. I've heard of quite a few of them, but yeah, there's obviously so much going on. It is, when I went to the first British Podcast Awards a few years ago now, even then, It was like radio, but in another country. It just felt like it was totally removed from anything I know about, because it is radio, it's audio, but the people I knew weren't there. So very strange. And I think over time that's going to merge together even more. There's going to be more merging of radio and downloading and podcasting in the future. I think that's where we're heading anyway.
Good to see a good mixture on the podcast nominees list as well. So there's, you know, some radio programs that go out as podcasts. There are independent productions. There are things from, you know, some of the big indies, the audio companies who are making programs, one-off podcasts and things from BBC and commercial radio and all sorts of stuff as well. So nice to see the big and the small among the nominees at the podcast awards. As I say, full list at radiotoday.co.uk, where you will also find our analysis of Rajar Q1 2020, possibly the final proper Rajar for a little while. That was another busy night of Rajar analysis.
It's been a long week, hasn't it? I think I need a week off. It's been a long week. But yeah, Rajar, you know, one of my predictions that I did for this year in the 2020 predictions, apart from predicting a world pandemic, predicted that the Rajar results would be the figures would be very surprising in the autumn. I didn't say why. And everybody tweeted me and said, what on earth are you talking about? That's a load of rubbish. But you know what? I think the Rajar figures are going to be a lot different come the autumn. So I'm going to have that one. That's my prediction.
Go either on, we won't have any, or they'll be showing completely different things to what we've always seen happen.
I think we'll see peaks at different times of the day for a start, because nobody's driving to or from work. So that could change potentially.
Yeah, we've not really seen the impact of the lockdown on these Q1 figures. Obviously, there was about a week or so at the end of the period that the data covers. But in terms of national stories, LBC did really, really well. Of course, we had that kind of post-election period into the new year and Brexit happening and all that kind of stuff. So LBC up 23.6% year on year, 500,000 extra listeners, 2.78 million now. And LBC News had its first set of figures, 657,000 listeners weekly across the UK, which is good for them. Other winners, Talk Radio doing well, actually 25% up year on year. Another record for Six Music. Virgin, 15% up on the year. Radio X did quite well, actually, this quarter, up to 1.6 million, which I think might be a record. Good figures for Classic FM as well. In London, LBC still number one on share, on reach. Capital down a bit from the 2 million mark where it was a few quarters ago, but 1.6 million still makes it the biggest station in London.
Fantastic. Locally as well, because that's what I kind of concentrated on this time around. And the headline was, of course, XS Manchester, which was going to close if Ofcom gave them the green light to change it to Capital Extra, which they said no to, of course. Computer said no. And what happens? They've pretty much had an amazing round. It's got 132,000, which is back to where it was when it was a couple of years old as Rock Radio, if my memory serves me correctly. Up from last year, though, which was 94,000. And the hours, they've got 1.28 million hours, which is over double what it had a year ago. So people are tuning in finally. Not finally, that's disrespectful, but people who are now tuning in are loving it, so that's good. Also in the Northwest, Radio City Talk, which we know is closing at the end of this month, that went down, which is probably why Bauer's closing it. 32,000 weekly listeners, which is down from 45,000 a year ago. Elsewhere as well, locally, Cool FM in Northern Ireland, they have a record 527,000 weekly listeners, which they pointed out quite happily gives them more than their rival Radio Ulster. For the first time, they have 512, so they're both over just over 500,000. And on the South Coast, More Radio had 37,000 weekly reach a year ago, and has just reported over double by my calculation, 71,000, which is also up from last quarter by 9,000 as well. So well done to everybody there.
You never were good at maths. We had 37,000 doubled would be more than that. But there we are. It's nearly double. It's nearly double.
Is it really? Oh, I don't know. It's late. Can we do this daytime next time? It's like 3 a.m. here.
And interesting on the Manchester market as well, that Hits Radio is now 10th in its own TSA, which is a far cry from when Key 103 was Manchester's number one hit music station.
I mean, this is serious, isn't it? This is serious stuff going on here, and Bauer can't be happy with that. What can they do? What can they do about that? They've thrown everything at this. They've rebranded, they've got the stars in, They've tightened it all up. It sounds pretty good. This should have been, I think, the format and the station that gets rolled out, but bombing in Manchester the way it has, what are they going to do? I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think the experts would probably say they have probably still got more listeners than that. It's more about recall. People perhaps still think they're listening to Key 103.
There is that. That's the old problem with Radar, of course. But yeah, if you're confident in it and it sounds good and they're in it for the long game, maybe this time next year it'll go up and up and up. We'll just have to wait and see, as I keep saying. But yeah, interesting also that XS Manchester now has more hours than Key 103 that was. That's quite an achievement. It reminds me of working at Smooth when it went from Jazz FM to Smooth FM. And it was pretty much a story of from worst to first, because never in a million years did we expect little Jazz FM to have more than Century, as it was in the Northwest, let alone now it's over double of Heart Northwest. So it is absolutely killing it in Manchester and the Northwest still.
We mentioned great figures for Talk Radio and Times Radio coming to that building soon. Talk Radio has gone up in the world this week. New studios, three floors higher on the 17th floor. So Talk Radio is now upstairs with Talk Sport and Virgin and Talk Sport 2.
Which is where it always should have been, really. I can't work out from the picture which room they're in, can you? Because we had a couple of tours of that building, didn't we? I can't work out where they've put them.
I think it's a studio that existed already by looks of it. Is it 17C? I think it looks from the pictures like it's in. But there we are. That's getting very nerdy.
Well, that's what we like to do. If anybody knows, let us know.
Yes, and so presumably Times Radio is going in that big studio on the 14th floor, which is near the canteen and stuff, where Talk Radio has been for the last few months.
We'd have to assume so, yeah, and then that makes the wireless operation all together on the 17th and Times, which isn't necessarily a wireless production, is it? It's run by News UK, so that's separate on the 14th floor. Right next to the canteen, which is obviously the most important place to be.
Now, we talked about big name signings. They don't come much bigger than the future King of England. Prince Charles is doing his own radio show. What's this about?
Yeah, Classic FM have signed up Prince Charles. He'll do an interview on Monday night next week on Bank Holiday with Alan Titchmarsh. And then he's presenting his own show on Tuesday. So no doubt they had a bit of audio left on the cutting room floor and thought, oh, we can make a programme out of this one.
You mean he's not going to talk over the ramps on the jingles?
Classic FM has jingles with ramps?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they had a jam package, didn't they?
Maybe he'll get his own cut, the future King of England. But there we go. So that's Tuesday night. I think that's a bit of a radio first, isn't it? I don't think we've had an heir to the throne presenting a show. And, of course, Global got plenty of history in getting big-name politicians and things on their own shows on LBC and stuff. So great to do that as a one-off next week on Classic FM.
Wasn't that jingle by Chris Moyles? Is that why you're saying that phrase, the future King of England?
Was it the future King of England's second favourite DJ or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Sticks in the brain.
Yes. And some other news that's been quite popular on Radio Today.co.uk this week was the departure of Maya Jama from Radio 1, where she's been on mid-mornings on the weekends for the last couple of years. And she's done a last show already, so it doesn't get to say goodbye because they're kind of alternating the weekend schedule at the moment. So she was on at the beginning of May and now won't be coming back because she's got more important things to do, apparently, later in the year.
I look forward to finding out exactly what those are. They're probably going to be TV or online or something.
Right, nice to catch up with you, Roy. Stick around on the Radio Today programme. We're going to find out about the BBC PAYE Freelancers Group in a minute. It's coming up, and David Lloyd's still on the way as well.
Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it. Radio Today.
This is the Radio Today programme, and next up, a group of people working across radio and the wider broadcasting sector who are struggling financially at the moment. Freelancers can get help, of course, from the government's self-employed income support scheme, but only if more than 50% of their income is paid gross. For PAYE freelancers, they're simply not eligible. And though those in commercial radio can be furloughed, the BBC says because it gets public money, it doesn't think it can use the scheme. Well, here's Ian Williams, one of the founders of the BBC's PAYE Freelancers Group. He's worked for the BBC for a decade as a member of staff and as a freelancer across TV and radio. Hi, Ian. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, I know a bit about this as I'm affected personally, but essentially this issue is that the BBC classes its freelancers as employees because of the way it taxes them on PAYE, and as a result people are falling through the gaps of the help that's there at the moment.
Yeah, I think the important thing to point out for anyone listening who doesn't really understand PAYE, you say employees, but really employees with none of the rights of a normal employee who might work elsewhere. So that's really where the problem comes. You fall between two stools. You're kind of not self-employed, so you don't get any of the benefits of that, but you also don't have any of the rights that somebody who might work for, say, a bank would get as a full-time staff member. So it's not a great way to be. I believe it's not always been the case. It has been always the case since I've worked for the BBC, but I know at some point in the relatively recent past, all of those freelancers who presumably used to be paid gross in one way or another were put onto this PAYE scheme. They're taxed at source by the BBC in the normal way that everyone else is. So you're paying your tax as you would do elsewhere. Normal rates of income tax, normal rates of national insurance. But yeah, sadly, it means you fall between the two stools in the government help. The BBC says it can't furlough us. We're not really employees. And the BBC says it has public sector money coming in, so that's why it can't use it. I do work as a gross paid freelancer elsewhere, but sadly that is less than 50% of my income, so I can't claim on the Chancellor's self-employed support scheme either. So no support for many hundreds of freelancers working at the BBC.
Yeah, and I know you've got more than 500 people in the PAYE freelancers group.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that happened, really. That's just kind of exploded. That was a bit of an accident, really. It was a small group of us in London who had a WhatsApp group going. And I came into that relatively late, actually. I was sort of referred to it by someone else that I work with in one department. And I just thought it's quite difficult to spread the word via WhatsApp. And I said, you know what, I'll set up a Facebook group for us. And it kind of reached the tipping point. And there was a day in the past where I had to farm out the admin in terms of new members because they were just coming in one every minute or so. So that gives you an idea of the numbers. And yeah, we're up to over 500 people now. Initially, there was just a hardcore of a handful of people who were interacting. And now there's a really good mix of people who are coming in and just giving us their thoughts on everything. So we've used that as a good way to sort of campaign.
And lots of stories from people on there who are saying, I was doing pretty much full-time work as a PAYE freelancer and now I've got zero shifts.
That's it. Like I said to you, I work a bit outside the BBC as well. But I think there's a lot of PAYE freelancers who only work for the BBC and may only have worked for the BBC for decades. There's a few people with comments I've seen on our Facebook page who've sort of said, you know, 20 years I've given to the BBC or 10 years I've given to the BBC and I'm getting nothing back now. There is quite a lot of anger out there from people who essentially, although I've said that they're not employees, to all intents and purposes, if you looked at their working life and their career, really they are an employee. They just don't have those employment rights that other people would have elsewhere.
And so through this group, you put together a letter which you sent last week to the Director General, Lord Hall. What were you asking him?
That's correct. Yeah, there was a gentleman who works up in Salford at Media City, and he approached me and one of the other admins and said, look, my plan was to write this letter. Maybe you could help me. And I said, well, yeah, absolutely. Why don't we make it an open letter and we can put it out there to the wider world to see, and anyone who has an interest in our situation would be able to look at that. And why don't we try and get as many people as possible within the the Facebook group to add their signature in as well. So we had a number of co-signatories, and we got over 150 co-signatories to that letter in the end. These are people, all PAYE freelancers who work at the BBC. So we were we sent that to the Director General, Lord Tony Hall. We wanted to be careful, really, not to go around bashing the BBC. In many ways, you know, people work for the BBC because they love the corporation. They love what it does and what it allows them to do. Back on, I think it was the 3rd of April, the BBC and other major broadcasters in the UK, including Sky and ITV, amongst others, Channel 4 as well, they wrote to the Chancellor and they said, look, we're aware of this situation developing, that PAYE freelancers, we all have PAYE freelancers, and we think that because of the way you've set up your support schemes, they're going to fall through the cracks. We would urge you to address this, and we think the simplest way for you to do this is to expand the self-employed income support scheme. That's the one for self-employed people who earn over 50% of their income sort of gross as a self-employed person, whether they be a freelancer or doing something else. Expand that scheme to include PAYE freelancers. You have all the tax records. Only HMRC know how much these people have earned over the past few years. Go back, look at your records, include them in it, and give them the support that way. So that's what the broadcasters did right back at the beginning of April. Since then, sadly, we've heard pretty much zero in terms of how that story has developed. And we thought that was disappointing. So we wrote to Lord Hall and we said, look, what was the response from the Chancellor? There were three things really that we mainly asked him in terms of questions. What was the response from the Chancellor to your open letter? Again, it was there for everyone to see, but we've had no response to it. Is there anything that you think we could do to help? Obviously, there's a large group of us here, we're ready to be mobilised. What do you think we could do? And also, what are you still doing? We know you wrote the letter, but a long time has passed since then. So what are you still doing to help freelancers? Because to be honest, you know, there's a lot of people out there who don't think that the BBC are doing enough to help. So what are you doing? And we got our response back. It was relatively speedy, I have to say, not too long. We wondered whether we might have to wait a few weeks, but we got our response back. And disappointingly, I'd say out of those three questions, really, we got about half an answer. So we didn't find out what the Chancellor's response was. So we're still none the wiser there. We discovered that the BBC and other broadcasters are still in talks with the Chancellor. So that's really the only thing we got, that, you know, those talks are still ongoing about how the situation might be resolved. And I have to say, you know, I feel a bit like a Home Affairs correspondent running all of this stuff with the Facebook group recently. I've seen a lot of emails and correspondence that perhaps I wouldn't normally have clapped eyes on, not all of it out in the public. And I've seen elsewhere that these talks are sort of ongoing as well with government and high-ranking people within government. So we know that that is happening, but we don't know exactly what the BBC are doing to push the case, other than still having the talks. And we weren't told what we could do to help. We were just spoon-fed back the kind of the PR stuff we've already seen about the measures the BBC has put together. They're out there in the open for everyone to go and have a look at as well. But for a lot of people, those support measures are not going to be suitable, and there's a lot of people out there who have zero work at the moment.
Yeah, I think the support measures that Lord Hall mentions in his letter back are, you know, that we've created a web page where we'll promote freelance opportunities, but I think there's about three or four jobs on there that have been on there for a couple of weeks now and nothing else. It's also talked about its hardship fund, which I think one colleague described to me as the BBC saying, sorry, we can't help you, how about we interest you in some debt instead?
Yes, you can take out a loan, can't you? So for some people, perhaps they may be in dire straits. They may well need that kind of support. But for a lot of other people, it's not quite the same as having 80% of your salary paid every month, is it? Which is what there's a lot of other people, millions of people out there in the country are getting at the moment, but not PAYE freelancers. And this is, remember as well, it's not just at the BBC. Anyone listening to this, we don't want to make it sound like it's just the BBC. That's my personal circumstance. It's your personal circumstances, Stuart. It's the circumstances of the hundreds of people who are on our Facebook group, but we know that it goes much, much wider than that, particularly within, say, TV, the creative industries, events. Think of all those people who would put together normally the festivals that you go and enjoy in the summer. A lot of the people who work on those are PAYE freelancers. They may be staring down the barrel of no income until next summer, when those big events hopefully can get back up and running again. So there are a lot of desperate people out there.
Yeah, and you've had some support in the last week or so from some politicians. I know MPs on all sides are trying to raise this issue, and the Shadow Culture Secretary got involved and wrote to the Chancellor.
Yeah, that was a really good response this week from Joe Stevens of Labour. As you say, the Shadow Secretary of State for DCMS. And she wrote directly to Rishi Sunak, and kind of like we did with Lord Hall, asked him several straight questions, saying, you know, I want answers to XYZ. Whether he'll come back with those or not, we don't know, because it seems quite difficult to get answers on this situation. It's almost like Chancellor is happy just to ignore it, I'd say. He's putting his fingers in his ears and going la 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 a little bit, because people are asking these questions, obviously, but nothing is coming back. There are no answers on this situation at all. So whether Joe Stevens, as a high-ranking Labour front bencher, can get those answers and let us know, we'll have to wait and see. But it's great that effectively this week Labour declared for us. We know the Lib Dems, they've been really, really helpful. It's weird, this is what I say to you again, I feel a bit like a Home Affairs correspondent. I spent the last few days sort of having multiple conversations with a couple of Lib Dem lords, including a former DCMS minister. It's not the kind of thing I normally do as someone who works predominantly in sport. So it's been interesting, that is for sure. So there has been a lot of support out there. There's a lot of people pushing our case, and that includes Conservative backbenchers as well. We've had really good support from that. When we started off the Facebook group, the main thing we were doing was trying to get people into the group so we could spam them with messages and say, look, please write at least to your MP, write to your local MP, make them aware of the situation, and get them writing a letter to the Chancellor as well. We've sent letters and emails as well to all of the people who sit on various relevant select committees. There is a select committee for the BBC, so we've certainly been sending them a lot of emails. Select committees, again, you know, for creative industries, that kind of thing. Yeah, just different departments. So essentially trying to get as much correspondence out to these people to make them aware of the situation and to, how many people are affected by it. Now, that's pushing the BBC case again, because that's most relevant to us, but always saying as much as possible that it's wider. What can you do to help PAYE freelancers across the board? And it looks like, as you said, a lot of those MPs have been listening, because Labour essentially this week went into bat for us. The Lib Dems are doing it as well. So we just wait to see really what impact it might have. But it's edgy times, isn't it? Because although the Chancellor has increased the duration of his furlough scheme for employed people, he's yet to make any sort of announcement about extending the self-employed scheme. And we know that that comes to an end relatively soon.
It does. So if anybody's listened to this and they're affected and they didn't know this group existed, if you just search for BBC PAYE Freelancers on Facebook and you'll find the group, and you're on Twitter as well, I think, Ian.
Yes, we are. Yeah. The name of the Twitter that you'll see when it comes up officially is BBC PAYE Freelancers, but that was too long for the official handle. So the official handle is at BBC Freelancers. So the title on the page is BBC PAYE Freelancers, same as the Facebook group. But your Twitter handle with the at is at BBC Freelancers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Looking back at the history of radio competitions with David Lloyd in a moment. First, a reminder about Clean Feed. It's great for doing outside broadcasts. Oh, hang on, we're not doing many of those at the moment. But it is great for doing co-hosting of your show or your podcast from somewhere different to usual, or maybe getting a guest onto your show from home. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to connect live quality audio just using your browser. You can even record within the browser as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take 30 seconds to get signed up, and you'll be doing your first live interview or hosting your show from home within minutes. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
Radio Moments. It's a couple of weeks now since we had the £1 billion winner on Heart.
What? No way!
I can't believe!
Oh my God!
Oh my goodness me, Tommy!
No way!
It's real.
It is absolutely real. This is not a wind-up. What kind of difference is this going to make to you, Tommy?
Massive.
So let's celebrate this week the role of the contest on radio. Famously, Chris Evans was the first to give away £1 million to Claire Barwick from Worthing in 1999. That was on the old Virgin 1215. Here's John Revel.
Well, I think one of the things we were always keen to do at the station, at Virgin Radio, you know, because there was always that Virgin ethos of fun and excitement that, you know, that does filter down from Branson. And there's no question about that. That does come down. And we were very much wanting to keep that spirit alive and moving. And we did.
And it was this week, 45 years ago, that Metro was said to be the first station to run a big cash contest. Although prize values in those days were regulated. The first Metro winner won £88. But this is how a contest round sounded.
It's time on the Jowl Show to play Don't Say Hello, Say Metro, our cash accumulator competition in which we pick a number at random from the Metropolitan Area Telephone Directory and give someone the chance to win a cash prize of up to £100.
Don't say hello, say... Don't say hello, say...
Metro.
Well done, who am I speaking to?
Mr. Farmer, 25 Freighter Terrace, Stone.
Hi, welcome along to Metro Radio. You now have possibly the chance to win yourself £49 if you can get two questions right. The first question is for a record or record token.
Len Grote on Metro this week in 75. Contesting generally, of course, is nothing new. On the BBC Northern Home Service in 1946, a chance to win between 2 shillings and six and one guinea.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go. And here he is, Wilfred Pickles.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aquarium, Ardo, how are you? Yes, this special have-a-go comes from Paddyham in Lancashire.
Have-a-go, said to be the first cash contest, although, of course, the real goal was getting stories from the people they spoke to on their travels around the country. And on air, that programme said to attract an audience of 15 million. Contestants, of course, sometimes struggle with the answers.
There's a missing word from this song. Tell me what it is, and you can bring the family to Kenilworth Fireworks on Saturday night.
Firefly.
Firefly.
Yeah.
You think the answer is Firefly?
Yeah.
Daniel, it's the wrong answer.
Oh.
Right then. I've got to take another call, but lovely talking to you, Daniel.
All right.
Good luck with everything.
I think Daniel's going to need it. That was from Mercia. And what about poor old Mark here?
Well, OK, we've got to ask you a question, mate, before we can put you in the barrel.
Yeah.
OK, spell A-C-D-C.
A-D.
Do you believe this?
A-C.
I'm going to ask you again.
Hang on.
How do you spell A-C-D-C?
A-D... A-C.
Mark.
One more time, Mark.
I'll tell you
spell
A-C-D-C?
I'll
kill you in a minute. Marcus.
Yeah.
Mark.
Mark,
yeah. Yeah, say A-C. Spell A-C.
Spell A-C-D-C.
How do you spell
A-D-D-C?
I'm getting this all wrong.
You are, Mark. You are. You're getting it seriously wrong, Mark.
And of course, when somebody actually wins, they're grateful. Aren't they?
Oh, hi there. Is that Josh speaking?
Yeah.
Right. Well, actually, I was going to tell you that you've won some tickets to the Neighbourhood Weekender Festival on Radio X, but if you don't want them, I'll give them to somebody else.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You're right there, mate.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah.
Have I caught you at a bad time?
No, not really. I'm in college.
Oh, you're in college? Do you always answer the phone that enthusiastically to everybody?
Suspicious kind of answering of the phone there.
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Well, mate, I mean, you've won some tickets to Neighbourhood Weekender, so hopefully you're pretty excited about that.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Chat to my friend Dom for a minute.
And then after another 2 minutes of chit-chat and warm-up...
You're off to Neighbourhood Weekender, mate.
Thank you, cheers.
Yeah, no worries.
Just for the trail, Josh, because we'll play sort of little clips of the winners and stuff. Can you just give us a big woo?
Woo.
Excellent.
Yeah, we'll edit that in post. Yeah.
Just maybe there's something about the honesty of the Radio X brand that when winners don't behave as they should, It's no secret.
So Barry won the competition to go to the Star Trek premiere last night. He won free... Actually, he did win Free Sky for a year.
Yeah.
And we were going to talk to him on the air about it. And then today he's been quite aloof, saying, oh, I can't make that time. Best just leave it. And then we replied back to him going, well, what time will you be able to do it? Because we would love to get you on and talk about the premiere. I mean, nearer 9 o'clock, 8:40, to if he needs to be precise. Then he said he wouldn't be able to do 8:40 because he'd still be travelling, although he'd already said that he, to be precise, would be available at 8:40. Then he said he won't because he's still travelling. Anybody else would be like, I mean, look, I don't want to get the audience on my side.
In America, of course, winners shriek with delight. Here, sometimes they don't. And the same is true of Oz.
Is your name Alice?
Alice, yeah, but they call me Alice.
Are you from Seven Hills?
Yes, Six Paired Place, Seven Hills.
That's you, darling. Guess what?
Yeah?
You're going to London.
Oh, no, I don't really want to go to London. I'm a bit old.
Are you? How old's old?
71 December.
71?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, 71.
Yep.
Have you got someone that could go with you and look after you?
I've got my daughter, Tanya.
Well, what about you take Tanya to London for the Chelsea Flower Show?
Oh, I know. I hate to refuse it, but...
You don't want to go?
No, I wish there was another prize.
Wonderful. So, what about the late entrance or the very late entrance?
To enter, mail this form to 96FM Stereo. Winners announced daily. Contest closes November 5, 1983.
This is a competition entry that has not made it to the radio station for 34 years. So here's what's going on. We want you to help us find the person who entered this.
And then that detective operation to find the original winner turns into a great story arc.
Hashtag find Robin.
And then the classic double beat, building the tension.
I think we've found Robin. Sort of.
Sort of. Allow us to introduce a lady called Britt, who says she is Robin Auld's daughter.
You're pretty confident this is your mum.
I am pretty confident it's my mum, yeah. So my mum now lives just outside of Meriden.
And then they find Robin.
We've just received a text message our producers did from Robin herself. Yeah.
From Robin herself.
And what does it say, Carms?
Well, I have it on good authority that it says that Robin has asked her husband for a little time off, and she said, and listen to this, I'll make the 300-kilometre journey to see you tomorrow.
That's a hive of activity here at 96FM this morning in the airlock. Today, tonight, are setting up some cameras. Robin Auld, we have found her.
Robin Auld, we have found her.
When did you first hear about we were searching for you?
It was Monday afternoon. I got a phone call from my nephew's partner and she said, you're going to find out something. It's a competition. It's really amazing. I'll let them explain it.
And then they get the original sponsor involved.
We think it's only fitting that we finish your journey 34 years later and that we honour you the gift of the 96 CDs. But because given CDs don't real albums in those days don't really exist, it's all pretty much digital now, we're going to give you a cheque instead to the value of $2,000.
And everybody's happy. What a spectacular story arc, probably talked about more than the contest itself ever was. And there's the lesson, I guess. So, with Plymouth Sound launching 45 years ago...
Hello, Sister Golding, can you hear us? Hello, Sister Golding?
Fern Cotton leaving Radio 1 5 years ago.
I'm so utterly blown away, you've got no idea. It's just been the best morning.
And the death of the first ever UK DJ, Christopher Stone, 55 years ago.
And then much later, when I went to school, the background of music was always there, whether at concerts or the choral society. And we learnt a lot of songs that were newly revived in those days, the sea shanties.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. This week's big winner on Lucky Line 7. Thanks also to Roy Martin and Ian Williams from the BBC Freelancers Group. And don't forget to rate and subscribe if you haven't already to the Radio Today programme. And we'll push something else similar into your podcast app next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.